Nam sabbatakam nama.
Nam sabbatakam nama.
Mehanam chantakarinam.
Mehanam chantakarinam.
Nigra pajatuja kudukuro.
Nigra pajatuja kudukuro.
Akyam jehe shamanidita.
Akyam jehe shamanidita.
Ganam.
Ganam.
The group.
The group.
Samvartakam nama.
Samvartakam nama.
Named Samvartaka.
Named Samvartaka.
Meganam.
Meganam.
Of clouds.
Of clouds.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Antakarinam.
Antakarinam.
Who effect the end of the universe.
Who effect the end of the universe.
Indra.
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 Prachodaya,
Prachodaya,
sent forth,
sent forth,
Krudha,
Krudha,
angry,
angry,
Vakyam,
Vakyam,
words,
words,
Cha,
Cha,
and,
Aha,
Aha,
spoke,
spoke,
Ishamani,
Ishamani,
falsely thinking himself the supreme controller.
Uta,
Uta,
indeed.
Indeed.
Translation. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction, known as Samvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows. Purport. The word Ishamani here is very significant. Indra arrogantly considered himself to be the Lord, and thus he exhibited the typical attitude of a conditioned soul. Many thinkers of the 20th century have noted the exaggerated sense of individual prestige characteristic of our culture. Indeed, writers have even coined the phrase the me generation. Everyone in this world is more or less guilty of the syndrome called Ishamana, or proudly considering oneself the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Ganam samvartakam nama meganam chantakarinam indrah prachodayat kudho vakyam chahe shamanyutam. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction, known as Samvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Vaibhavi Vinanta Swami Viti Narayane Namaste Sarasvati Devo Brahmani Natarayane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gaura Bhakta Vinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Ajanamandita Bujo Kanaka Vadatam Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalai Daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Bhavam Vande Jagat Priyakaro Kam Dantah Pravishya Mama Vashimama Prasuttam Sanjeevaya Tekila Shakti Daraksvadam Anyam Shahasta Charanam Shavanat Vagadim Pranam Namo Bhagavate Gurushaya.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, reading this very amazing and instructive story about Govardhan Lila, where Krishna clearly demonstrated to all of us to whom we should come for shelter. The main point of this story is that people are trying to find shelter in many different places. They go going to demigods, they're performing this yagi, this ritual, that ritual. They're going to astrologers, they're going to social welfare institutions, trying somehow or other to find some shelter. And this lila, the very essence of this lila, is to show that there is no other shelter. That ultimately, if we are to find any shelter in this world, we have to know whom we should approach, and that's Krishna. Krishna was initially quite angry with the cowherds, gopas of Vrindavan, when he saw that they are trying to find solution in something else. And the whole point of this lila is to show that there is no use. Even though sometimes taking shelter of Krishna is not easy. In this particular story, we know the Nanda Maharaj and his associates, they agreed to follow Krishna's example. And the result was quite disastrous. Krishna told them, do how I tell you. And, it was a deluge and, thunderbolt and hailstorm and everything. And who knows, maybe they were thinking, they're so stupid. Why did we follow his advice? We would be better off just doing little sacrifice. But what Krishna wants to show us that ultimately only those who take shelter of him, and him only exclusively, they will be victorious. And ultimately victorious over the lower nature. Here we see how Indra manifests his faulty material nature. And this description is there to make us understand that there is no point of taking shelter of somebody who is imperfect himself. These gopas of Vrindavan, they were trying to take shelter of Indra, and Krishna said, it's ridiculous, why are you doing this? He is not perfect himself. So he is not purna, he is not complete. All these emotions which Indra manifests here in this particular verse, the anger and jealousy and complete loss of control of himself, complete stupid things he is doing. But this is all manifestation of one simple thing. He is not complete. He is not perfect. Because he is not perfect, he is proud. The pride is manifestation of, very important manifestation of incompleteness. Somehow or other, psychologically, to compensate, to make up with our incompleteness, we start feeling some false pride. In fact, any pride in this world is false pride. Perhaps maybe, there's some exception. If I'm proud of Krishna as my master, that is maybe real pride. But usually people are falsely proud, and this false pride is false by the very fact that this pride appears in our heart because there is nothing to be proud of. Because of the imperfection. That's a very interesting phenomenon. Actually, the cause of pride is inferiority complex. We feel inferior, and therefore, to compensate this painful feeling of inferiority, we try to kind of mask or hide this feeling of inferiority by showing off our proud side. The pride is just another side of the coin of inferiority. And this is called here Ishamani, Ishaman. You know, I think that I'm God. We're all God, yes, there's no doubt about it. Small God. Very small God. Completely insignificant kind of God. God, no doubt about it. We have little reflections of God. But very, very tiny and insignificant. But at the same time, there is this mentality of, you know, trying to be God or to prove to everyone that I am God. I'm the first one, I'm the most important one, I am this and I am that. And this is what is being depicted here, because ultimately Sukadev Goswami wants to impress upon us that there is no point of taking shelter of anything which is imperfect. If we want to take shelter of something, it should be something perfect. Because this is our natural position. Our natural position is to take shelter of perfect and complete Krishna. And we can see that Krishna himself shows complete total humility. At times. Not always. But because he is perfect, he doesn't need to show pride. Since he rode along in his far he took a number of deaths to bother my Gita. In fact, humility is the sign of perfection. Because two kind of living entities show real humility. One kind of living entity who shows real humility are the living entities which became perfect by the dint of their connection with perfect Krishna. Because they took complete ultimate shelter in Krishna, they naturally manifest humility, and that's their perfection. They're perfect and complete by the dint of their connection with perfect and complete. And another kind of living entity which shows genuine perfection is Krishna himself. This kind of consists of only one person. And he shows real humility because, again, he's perfect. And he's perfect in himself by his nature. And we can see this amazing extent of humility which Krishna manifested. When there was a time of Rajasui Yagya, and there was an organizing committee of this big festival. And all the people who were arranging this Rajasui Yagya, they were dividing different roles according to the propensities. And everyone was given a particular service, you know, which is suitable to their nature. Bhima was given the service of cooking because he loved to eat. So he was the chief cook in this big festival. And Duryodhana, it's also very interesting. He was also given a very particular service. He was supposed to take all the gifts which other will. He was the treasurer. He would count all the gifts and note down in the big book, you know, this guy brought this and this guy brought this. Everyone was given particular service, and then there was one service left. That is to wash feet of all the guests. And nobody wanted to take this service. You know, Arjuna said, you know, how can I do this? Some guy whom I conquered will come and I will have to wash his feet. That's misnomer. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. You know, definitely Bhima didn't want to take this service. That was not according to his nature. So there was only one according to whose nature was to wash feet of all the guests. That was Krishna. Krishna said, I'll do this service, no problem with me. That will not diminish me to the least, because nothing can diminish me. I'm perfect. Why we become proud? Because because of this feeling that this is something which is diminishing us, something which is, you know, as if we can be diminished in reality. This is so small that there's nothing to be diminished. There's nothing there. But still, in our mind, we still want to be God. And God, He shows how the perfect being behaves. The perfect being behaves in this way. He became the driver of Arjuna. You know, you ask any of these big people to become somebody's driver, they will tell you everything which they think about you. You know, if you suggest to them, just be the driver. It's not a very, you know, honorable engagement, occupation to be the driver. But, you know, and the last day of the battle, who was it? Not last, the day before last. Karna asked, he became the commander-in-chief of the Kauravas army, and he said that Shalya should become my chariot driver. Shalya was a big kshatriya, he was actually the uncle of Pandavas. But Karna told Duryodhana, I will only become commander-in-chief if Shalya becomes my chariot driver. Because he was very expert in this. And Duryodhana came to Shalya and said, you have to become the chariot driver of Karna today. Shalya, he freaked out. He said, how dare you tell me this? I become the chariot driver of this guy, you know, as if I am anything less than him. I'm not less than him. I'm not going to drive his chariot. Anyway, somehow or other they cut the deal, but the point here is that God is humble, and He shows this as a sign of perfection. Humility is actually the perfection of a human being. If somebody manifests pride, and concomitant to the pride, anger, and so many other unwanted emotions, it's the sign of his imperfection, his total deficiency and imperfection. Basically, why, if you're proud, the anger will come. Here we see that Indra is angry. Krodha is raging. He's totally full of anger. Why? Because what is anger? Anger is the energy within us which is there to overcome the impediments. And when one is proud, the pride is manifested in the mentality that everything should be the way I want. This is the pride. Pride is the simple thing, you know, this Ishaman, this Ishvaraha Maham Bhogi, this Ishvara Bhav, which is there in every living entity here, manifests in a very simple thing, you know. We very naturally think that everything should be according to my will. When we tell people that you want to become God, many people will reject it. Many people will say, no, I don't want to be God, I just want to be what I am. You know, but then you watch them or ask them, how do you behave when something goes against your will? They will naturally say, no, I'm not very happy. It means that you want to become God. That's the proof. Because there is only one being whose will is always running supreme. Whose will is always victorious. Whose will is always there. You know, everyone else has to, you know,
at one point admit that something goes against my desire. And if I become angry at this moment, it's the clear proof that I want to be God. Once, there's a funny story, once this one sadhu was asked, can you please prove us the supremacy of God's will? And he said, oh, that's very, can be very easily proved, he said. As far as I remember myself, everything goes against my desire. It's the clear proof of the supremacy of God's will. So, we are not God. And therefore, nothing will, or sometimes for a change, something will go according to our desire. It happens sometimes. We have to admit. But it's just an exception, which only proves the rule. The rule is that it's not our will which will reign supreme in this world. And if we become angry, and it's not if, we always become angry, or if not angry, then depressed. This condition of being depressed due to that something is going wrong in my life, something is going not according to my will, not according to my plans, not according to my desires. They say that's the single cause of the stress. In this world, everyone is overly stressed, and the more civilization advances, the more stressed people are there. And the cause of stress is one, simple. Something goes wrong. Something not goes according to my liking, not according to my desires. And here we see that Indra completely fully manifests. Now I will show him, I will show them who is God here. And he's capable to a certain extent doing this. But the point is that when we manifest this kind of nature, we deprive ourselves of the chance to get love. The greatest problem of pride, not anger. Anger is definitely a big problem, big factor in our life. If we are proud, we will be angry. Because we will always be dissatisfied, something goes wrong. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem of pride is that it deprives us completely of the experience of love. Therefore, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the practically opening statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it said, Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. This book could be understood, and this book is about love. This book is only about love, what the real love is, how to realize the real love. And the opening statement of this book, the author of this book, Srila Vyasadeva, he says that if you want to experience love or understand what love means, get the clear understanding of this love which is depicted in this book, you have to have one simple quality, which is practically impossible to have in this world. Nirmatsara. You have to be free from jealousy. And ultimately it means you have to be free from pride. Jealousy or envy, it's practically the same as pride, because jealousy, envy is the feeling that I am very special. I am extremely special. I am so special, you can't imagine how special I am. And nobody really understands how special I am. And that's yet another proof of how special I am. Because nobody can even fathom the extent of my speciality, of my exclusiveness. And that's jealousy, you know. Matsarya basically means, and here definitely, Indra displays this quality of Matsarya. Matsarya means Matsaradha. Mat means me of me on Saradaha. He wants to go ahead of me. Matsaradha, Matsarya means, you know, I will not allow it to happen. Nobody can go ahead of me. I will be the number one. And if it doesn't work to be the number one, I will be the number last. And it will mean number one from the other side. That's how pride manifests. It may manifest, I am the most fallen. You know, we know. In the society of devotees, we manifest our pride and this statement, I am the most fallen. Please don't try to be more fallen than me. So, that's Matsarya. Nobody can, you know, be ahead of me. Whatever I do, I have to be the first one. There is this funny story about Julius Caesar. They were once, he and his army were passing by a small village. And this village was totally, completely, I mean, it was a practically abandoned village. And still there were a couple of people living there. And the associates of Julius Caesar, they started wondering why people are living in this, you know, really ridiculous abandoned village. Why do they leave? Why don't they move to Rome? And Julius Caesar says, it's better to be the first one in the village than the second one in Rome. Why? Because of the same kind of problem, the same kind of problem which is depicted here, Ishaman. I am Isha. I want to be the first, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, let me isolate myself in a little small apartment, but in this apartment I should be the number one. And when two people happen to live in the same apartment, one is called husband and another one is called, by mistake, wife. So, that's a big problem because everyone wants to be number one and nobody wants to be number two. And somebody has to be number two. That's why they fight all the time. You know, I'm the number one. No, I'm the number one. And then natural consequence of a divorce. That's a problem. That's the problem on this material world. Everyone has this mentality and it manifests in, I mean, it's unlimited different ways in this material world. And we have to be very clear about this mentality and especially about this most important problem connected with this mentality. It deprives us of love. There is no question of obtaining love until we have pride. Until we genuinely humble. Love is not compatible with pride. When you love somebody, you are naturally humble. When mother loves a little baby, you know, mother will clean this baby from the stool. You ask the same mother to clean somebody else's stool. She probably will not like this. And then in Hindi there is a, I don't know exactly the Hindi how it sounds, but there is a saying in Hindi that if the little baby, you know, passes urine, this urine, it's like the Ganges water for mother. It's very purifying. Why? Because of love. Because the love is there. The love makes us humble. The love means service. And service means humility. If one loves, one serves. There's no love without service. Service without love is possible, but that's not service. That's as Prahlad Maharaj says in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's business. And therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Manak Shiksha, he gives a very important instruction to the mind. Pratishtasya drishtasya vacharamani mehridina tet katha sadhu prema sprishati shuchiratam nanumana. He says, oh my mind, please understand one thing. How the most pure prema, sadhu prema, sadhu prema means real prema or most pure prema, 100% prema, how it will touch my heart, how it can enter my heart if in my heart there is a nice dancing, meat-eating, dog-eating Ramani. Ramani means prostitute. The Ramani of Pratishtha, of pride, of distinction, is dancing in my heart. And how the Katham Sadhu Prema Sprishati Shuchiratan Nanumana, how this sadhu, this beautiful prema, how it can touch my heart? It cannot touch my heart because it can only live in the pure place. If the place is not pure, love will not live there. And how it can be pure if this Ramani, this completely dirty, contaminated woman of pride is dancing there? You know, he says that if this Pratishtha is dancing there, Sanatana Goswami, he made another comparison. He compared Pratishtha in the last verse of Hari Bhakti Vilas. He explained in Hari Bhakti Vilas everything which one should follow. This and that, Ekadasi, all the different minute rules, how to, you know, take Diksha, everything which is there. The last verse, he says, that when everything else is beyond you, when you have already overcome all the impediments, there is still one impediment. In the heart of an aspiring devotee. And this impediment is Pratishtha. Pride. The desire to be special. The desire to be special devotee. I'm very special. I'm very special servant of Krishna. This desire, you may overcome everything else, but this desire is the last desire which we will still have to overcome if we want the experience of love, if we want the experience of prema. And Sanatana Goswami says that this desire is so contaminating that this is like the stool of a pig, of a hog. You know, and stool of a hog, it's a very special substance because our stool is a result of eating something nice. But hog stool is a result of eating stool. So it's a double stool. It's not just simple stool. Our stool is contaminating, but it's not that bad. Hogs, they eat stool, and then they produce stool. I don't know how they manage to do it. it must be something really nasty. So Sanatana Goswami says that this Pratishtha, this desire of fame, to become famous as a great devotee with great something for this and that, this is the last thing and it's the most contaminating. If even a trace of this thing is there in our heart, no love. You know, we can see this amazing story here, depicted here, that Indra, he knew that Krishna is God. He knew it. Still, he couldn't do anything. Why? Because his heart was controlled. Controlled by this completely contaminating mentality of I'm God. I want to become God. I don't want to become anything else. I want to prove, to show to everyone that I am God. This pratishtha is there, and this pratishtha is a very dangerous thing because it can creep very easily into our heart. It may take a very innocent form, you know, it may take, you know, to be dressed in a sari, you know, this Ramani, this woman, can enter into our heart in a very nice way, you know, having tilak and, you know, japa mala, you know, in her hands. It's very subtle. There was a nice story once in Prabhupada's life, his preaching. The devotees in America, they made some mistakes, and therefore they created not a very good image of them. So they decided to, initially they were distributing Prabhupada's books in their dhotis and saris, but then they decided that it's probably better to wear karmi clothes. And they started going out in karmi clothes, and you know, there was some results, and everyone was very enlivened. But still, there were few devotees, they were thinking, no, this is not good, this is not good. You know, why do we have to hide ourselves? We have to go, you know, openly. Good idea, isn't it? Why don't we go openly in dhotis and saris? So, there was a group of these devotees. And they wanted to show that this is the way, this is the proper way. And during Prabhupada's marathon, they took a vow. We'll go out on the streets and distribute Prabhupada's books only in dhotis and in saris and tilak. And because they were so convinced, they had a success. They get out of the temple and they were distributing lots of books and they were so happy, proud. And naturally they felt, we are better than other devotees. And of course, this feeling will not be complete unless somebody else knows about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to inform others about this feeling. Yeah. And you have to share this. I am better than them and this and that. So, ultimately, they wrote Srila Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, what do you think about, you know, that we're distributing these books and it goes on nicely, we're distributing it in this saris and dhotis. Prabhupada, what do you think about this idea? And ultimately, you know, they definitely expected particular answer. And we all know what was the answer. What should be the answer? The answer should be, yes, yes, you're great, yes, yes, yes. Lots of people, yes, of course, yes, right. You're right, you're right. Because when we feel this, I'm right, somehow or other, we still need confirmation from others. Yes, you're right, yes, you're right. And if nobody confirms that we're right, we feel something, you know, not so good. Anyway, they wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back an amazing answer to them. Listen very carefully. This is how the spiritual master takes care of our problems. Srila Prabhupada wrote a very simple sentence in reply to this. He said, if you feel more comfortable distributing in dhotis and saris, you can do it, it's okay, no problem. Completely, totally smashing all their hopes to prove it. If you feel more comfortable, that's no problem, I don't mind. And this is how Prabhupada showed, you know, this is the mentality. This is our mentality. Look at your mentality. And they immediately, it was as if, you know, the mirror was put just in front of their face. And they saw them, what's going on in our heart. Before that, they didn't know, they didn't really understand what's going on. Before that, they, you know, there was seemingly good thing, you know. They're going openly, they're not trying to cheat anyone. Still, pride was there. And the pride completely, totally, how you say it, diminished all the achievements which are there. As soon as we become proud of our achievements, it basically means that there's no achievements. Because the only achievement which we may have is the achievement of humility. The only real achievement which may be there in the life of the devotee is the achievement of real humility. When I'm happy the way I am and the way I can serve Krishna. That's it. That's the achievement. That's the only achievement which we should aspire for. You know, to be happy where I am. And to be happy by the deed of my service to Krishna, by the very fact that I still can serve Krishna. And Krishna, of course, he might do amazing things. If somebody is genuinely humble, Krishna will use him as a perfect instrument. Because we become perfect instruments of Krishna, in the hands of Krishna, when the real humility dawns in our heart. There was another beautiful story of the same sort. That was a story in the life of Saint Francis. Saint Francis was an amazing person. And because of his genuine humility and genuine renunciation and genuine sincere faith in God, he developed tremendous power of influencing people. It's actually the rule. If somebody becomes genuinely humble, then amazingly enough, he becomes tremendously influential. You may think that if somebody is humble, he's not diamond, you know what it is. No, but humility is the greatest force in this world. Why? Because when one is humble, then the Lord Himself is using him as an instrument and is working through him, and it's Lord's influence going through this particular person and influencing other people. So this Saint Francis, because of his integrity, genuine integrity, he became very influential. Whenever he would come, initially people would deride them, and still they would deride them, seeing them in a very, humble attires, in rags. But then, as soon as he would start speaking, everyone would be mesmerized. Everyone would be just listening. And then the flock of people would flock around St. Francis, asking him for advice, asking him, what to do in life, and, getting his counsel, this and that. So there was one person in his group among St. Francis' associates, Matthew. And he was from a rich family. He was very beautiful. He was very eloquent in his speech. But nobody cared about him. And he also was renounced. He also put rags. And he was also begging together with St. Francis. But somehow or other, everyone was after St. Francis and nobody was after him. And he was, in his heart, this Matsarya was just there. And he didn't know. It was burning from inside. Burning and burning and burning. And once they came to a city, not to a town, and again, the same story repeated itself in every city, in every village, the same kind of story. St. Francis would become the center of attraction of everyone. And the crowd was around them, and everyone was asking, what to do, and this and that. And ultimately, they met you, it was too much for him. And he started screaming. When everyone was just asking something, he started screaming, why Francis, why Francis? Why Francis? Why not Matthew? No, he didn't say this, but why always, why everyone says, you know, him, him, him. Why? Why? And Saint Francis looked at him and he smiled and he said, because I'm very sinful and very useless. And God, in order to prove and to show to everyone that we ourselves cannot do anything and He Himself can do everything, has chosen me to influence other people. Because I'm so completely, totally useless and insignificant, so God has chosen me and not you. To influence others. Because He wants to show that we ourselves cannot do anything, and He can do anything. He can do everything. He will do everything. So that's the point when somebody becomes genuinely, and that's why that's the greatest achievement. If we achieve this simple quality of thinking about ourselves as we are. Humility doesn't mean that we start thinking about ourselves as somebody else, as something else. You know, humility means we just very realistic about ourselves. That's it. I am what I am. Hare Krishna. Welcome. That's me. I am not trying to show anything. I am what I am. And I know whatever I do, it's not me who is doing it, it's Krishna who is doing it through me. And I always, you know, mindful about this fact. I always remember that it is Krishna who is working through me. I myself, what can I do? I cannot do anything. You know, I'm just an insignificant living entity. And then Krishna may choose you as His instrument, and He will do it. We can see there are innumerable examples of saints in the history of humanity who were very influential people, the most influential. Why? Because they were humble. As long as I am proud, Krishna's love does not touch my heart. And Krishna will not also have anything to do with me. But as soon as I become genuinely humble, then amazing things may happen in my life. Therefore, Queen Kunti says, Janmaishwari Shudashri Dira Gamana Madhakumam Naiva Harte Vidhatamurai. She says that this pride is intoxicating yourself. Doesn't matter what is the reason for us to be proud of, whether it's our doors or our influence or our opulence or our education. We may become proud of our knowledge of the Shastras. Shruta, or it's our beauty. She says, no, Janmaishwari Shruta, she did Edamana Madhapuma. All these things, they only increase, completely increase our intoxication, our intoxicated state of consciousness. And therefore, Naivarhati, such a person cannot, he is not na eva arhati, he does not deserve, arhati means somebody who is deserving, he does not deserve to pronounce the name of God with genuine feeling. If somebody is proud, he does not have a chance, because the genuine feeling will not be there when he calls for God. He will be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And at the same time, he will be thinking, you know, I'm okay. It's not bad. I'm doing great. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yeah. I will achieve success. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I will do this. Yeah. And everyone will appreciate how I'm doing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And everyone will look at me. Because I am all attractive, little reflection of Krishna. He's all attractive and I'm all attractive. So everyone should be attracted to me, right? No feeling. Never had any doubt of why Mama Kinchi goes there. The only someone who genuinely feels inside his heart, I don't have anything. Really, I don't have anything. Krishna, he has everything. I don't have anything. Only he can call Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's the problem with the pride. The problem of the pride is that it deprives us of the most amazing experience and most important achievement. And therefore, we should only strive towards humility. And therefore, the society of devotees is very important. We cannot become real devotees if we are alone. No chance. We will only imagine how great we are. We will meditate on Krishna, but it will be useless. One can become a genuine devotee only if he is in the society of devotees, together with other devotees, chanting the holy name. And therefore, this chanting, when we are together chanting, and when we are cooperating with each other, chanting the same tune, not everyone the different tune which he likes the best, but the same tune. This chanting is called Sankirtan, which means perfect kirtan. You can perfectly glorify the Lord only if you are just a humble voice in a big chorus of voices, singing in tune with everyone else. Then it becomes Sankirtan, which means perfect kirtan. Perfect glorification of the Lord. And you don't try to, you know, show to God how glorious you are. Don't worry, God knows how glorious you are. you don't have to prove it once and again. So, real glory is to become the servant of the servant of the servant and to cooperate in the society, devotees. Serve humbly in the temple, follow the rules, and in this way try to create the genuine feeling of humility in our heart. And then all other problems will not affect us. Sometimes people ask, you know, what to do with karma, lust, what to do with anger, what to do with, you know. All other problems will be cured at once. As soon as this feeling of genuine dasatva, the servitude, will dawn in our heart. So, there is no chance of getting rid of karma and krodha and lobha and matsarya unless we change our ego.
when the ego of servant is there, there is no harm. Love comes on its own accord. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jai.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Thank you very much for to it. I'd like to ask a question that you mentioned that Pratishtha remains in the heart up until the sort of very end, last stages, and also that as long as pride is there in the heart, that we're denied really the love coming from God. So, of course, this sounds a little bit like a contradiction because the pride is there until the end, and all through that time, how's the love going to get in? So, just wondering how.
So, in the verse which I quoted by Raghunath Das Goswami, Pratishtha Shadrishtha, it's actually not even Pratishtha, Pratishtha Asha, the desire for fame. Pratishtha Shadrishtha Svapacara Mani Mehridinate Katam Sadapriyama Sprisati Shuchiratana Nuna Sadatvam Sivasva Prabhudayate Samantam Atulam Yatatvam Niskashitvaritam Ihatam Veshayati Saha. Raghunath Das Goswami gives the recipe or remedy of this problem. He says, if you feel that this pratishtasha, the desire for fame, for distinction, is there in the heart, and there is only one way to get rid of it. That is, sadatvam sevasva prabhudayata samantam atulam. You have to find genuinely great devotee of the Lord. He is samantam atulam, is like the commander-in-chief of devotees. Sadatvam sivasva prabhudayita samantam atulam. And he is very dear to the Lord himself. You should find such a devotee and you should try to serve him sada, constantly. And if you serve him constantly in your mind, if you acquire, why it's necessary? Because, you know, God is far away. We can imagine ourselves to be his servants. And that's one thing. But if there is a devotee in front of us, and he, you know, the service becomes immediately real, and it, you know, that's why Ritvik Vada doesn't really work. You know, you can imagine yourself to be servant of, you know, doesn't matter, Srila Jiva Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna, Prabhupada. That's one thing, you know, because the advantage is that they will not come to you and will not say what they really want from you. But if there is somebody and you try to constantly serve him according to his desire, not your own desire, then your ego will change, and therefore Raghunath Das Goswami says, Sadatvam Sivasva Prabhudayata Samantam Atulam Yathatvam Nishkasya Tvaritam. Very quickly, this lady, this obnoxious lady, which is dancing in my heart, will be driven away from it. Ihatam Veshayati Saha. And this prema, Veshayati Saha, will take her residence in my heart. So that's the thing. I do not what I like, not what I want to do. I do what somebody else does, and this somebody else is a devotee of the Lord. And I follow his order. I do what he wants me to do.
So that's it. That's the only solution. There's no other solution to this. That's what we're supposed to do. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Deva, it is said, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So if it's not prema, or if it's not...
You may get money, no problem. You may get something else, you may get fame.
It's okay, but it's not prema, or it's not, let's say, part of prema. It's, you know, we still have pride, but let's say pride is less than before, so some kind of love should come in, some kind of reflection of love maybe, or something. What exactly, what's the name of it? Or otherwise, how will we go, you know?
Of course, it's not black and white. You try to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna appreciates your endeavor to surrender. And He may reciprocate with your desire to surrender to Him in a very, amazing ways. He may send you more and more opportunities to surrender to Him unless your surrender is complete. That's what he usually does. You show little interest to surrender and you take full advantage and give you newer and newer ways of surrendering to him. The problem is that when there is a new opportunity to surrender comes, we usually rebel against it. Without understanding that this is kind and loving reciprocation of Krishna with our desire to surrender to Him. Because, this is too much. No, this is, you know, I'm ready to do this, but not there. This is too much. He's asking for too much from me. So he sends us very adventurous experience in life as a reciprocation. That it will become clear to us, the impediments will become clear to us. In the beginning, we are all pure devotees. Every single one of us is a pure devotee in the beginning. Something happens over the years when we practice devotional service, we realize that we are not that pure. But in the beginning, it's so pure. Yeah, fine, yes, right. I am, yes. That's about me. Amazingly enough, how they know about me so much. And then we know about ourselves a little better because of Krishna's kind reciprocation. He shows to us.
I had a question, like, always believed when we leave this body, soul moves on to the other body with the subtle body as well, so mind, intelligence and ego that goes along with the soul. But I just happened to heard in the last couple of days that soul, the ego dies with that death, so I just wanted to understand how it happens.
Yes, see, as much as there is some transformation in our physical body, of course, very drastic one, during the process of death, the mental body also undergoes some transformation. Ego cannot hold, because ego means, false ego means identification with the particular material body which we have. And that's why the death is such a painful experience, because you have to leave everything, you have to leave completely your ego, there's nothing. So, therefore it is said, Krishna says that dhirasthatrana muhyati, the only dhira who is totally detached, he is not bewildered at this moment. We are very much disturbed and bewildered because we don't know, you know. You know, we try to hold for this body, it doesn't really work, you know. What is our next destination? We don't know. We're in complete darkness. We are totally afraid. It's a very traumatic experience. And when the child is born, his ego is not really formed. Therefore, children, they learn so quickly because there's no ego. You know, ego starts forming. The real ego is formed when you are around 15 or 14. That's the ego time. You know, you completely, totally, you are in control of your body. You sing, you are in control of your body. Your body is young and fresh and, you know, nicely looking. And you think, I will make it here. Nobody else could do it, but I will. So the ego definitely is not there, because when the soul is there, see, ego is an element of ego is there, but the tendency to identify with the matter is there, and the craving, the desire to identify with the matter, but there is no identification as such, because you really don't know with what to identify. And that's, we also undergo these crises during the lifetime. It's not only at death we undergo such crisis, like the middle age crisis of the middle age, the famous crisis. It's because the body changes, and therefore the identification changes. We don't know with what we should identify, with the previous body which was young and healthy, or with the new body which had a wrinkle, and look at it, you know, look at it. Mirror and you see, who is that ugly guy? And the mirror said, that's you. And that's crisis in itself. You know, me? No, can it be? So that's crisis. Crisis. The crisis of ego. All the crises which we have are the crises of ego. And we don't really know who we are.
Thank you for the wonderful class. And the question not related to action class. Thank you for the wonderful class. And the question not much related to the class. Can you tell us about Moscow Temple? Just in a few words, please.
Moscow Temple is a special project sent by Krishna to us to make us really humble. Because nothing goes according to our design. But somehow or other, by Krishna's inconceivable mercy and will, we are about to start the construction of this project. We will start the construction, hopefully everything goes right in the end of August, beginning of September, and in June we will have groundbreaking ceremony for this. We're trying to figure out where the money will come from. That's a big mystery to me. But I guess Krishna will take care of it somehow or other. And after long attempts to get everything, we finally got the final paper recently in April, and that's the last paper which has political connotations in it. There will be still few papers pending, but these papers are purely technical in nature, so we will get them. It's just a question of fulfilling certain technical desires. So it seems like we are going to build it, and I guess Krishna still has some tests to make us even more humble. Because it's not easy. Anyway, I guess that's it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.